Find your place there, Ephesians chapter 1. And Miss Robin, I know the invitation hymn already is going to be "How Great Thou Art." That's what it's going to be. Amen. Ephesians chapter 1. And with God's help and your patience, Lord willing, we have finished Ephesians chapter 1 tonight. Amen. And Brother Leonard, 23 verses, 22 lessons. I don't see what the problem is. I'm one under budget. Amen. And I have to tell you honestly, folks, as you're standing, we'll just read two verses. I have thoroughly enjoyed the study of Ephesians chapter 1. I feel like I just scratched the surface. This is just one of the deepest, broadest, thickest chapters of the Word of God, the doctrines that are discussed. I was telling Brother Leonard I have an 8-volume set on Ephesians by one writer, 6 chapters, 400 pages per volume. So that's 3,200 pages. And I'm using that as my guide. No, I'm not. Amen. But praise the Lord, I thought, you know what? That's how rich Ephesians is. It's worthy of 8 volumes, just what it is. And so, praise the Lord. Last two verses of Ephesians chapter 1. I'll tell you, let's read verse 21 as well. It kind of leads into the context of verse 22. So let's read Ephesians chapter 1, verse 21, 22, and 23 in unison. Ready? Let's begin. "Far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all and all." Father, please bless your word to our hearts now, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. Quickly, by way of review, in our last lesson, we looked at the second part of Paul's prayer. So you have a blank line there if you have a review sheet. Second part of Paul's prayer for the saints at Ephesus, okay? And we looked at how Paul wanted the saints in Ephesus to know more of three things we looked at over the last two lessons, really. We want them to know more about the perfection of God. The fact that His Father, Son, Holy Ghost, and these three are one, perfectly in harmony, perfectly in unity. We see in the Bible in regards to when Jesus was here on earth, He submitted Himself to the Father. When the Holy Ghost came down, He points people to the Son. But I promise you this, in that subordination is not anything less, and that is this, that the Holy Ghost is just much God as Jesus, and Jesus is just much God as the Father. These three are one. And again, the best illustration I've ever heard of that is the egg. The egg, it's shell, yolk, and white, and it's all egg, and none of it is not egg, and none of it is less than egg. Amen. And I think some of you farmers can get that. Can I get a witness? Amen. Hallelujah. The perfection of God. Then we talked about the perception of God. He says there in verse 17 and 18, he says, I want God to give you the spirit of wisdom and in revelation and knowledge of Him, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what is the riches of the glory and the inheritance of the saints. So the perfection of God, the perception of God, and then the third bullet point, he wanted them to know about the power of God. Verse 19, and what is the exceeding greatness of His what? Power. Amen. To usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power. Amen. Which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead. So the perfection of God, the perception of God, the power of God. Paul said, hey, listen, my prayer for you is that you'd know more about the perfection of God. I want you to know that God's perfect. I want you to have a better perception of God, that your eyes would be open and know more about His power. Okay, blank line there. As we close out this first chapter of Ephesians, we are brought to one of the richest portions of God's Word. Just these two little verses are so rich. Notice, number one, the conquering of Christ. The conquering of Christ. And it says there in verse 22 that, and hath put all things where? Under his feet. Okay? So we have the conquering verse. Now I want to run these verses because they'll bless you. There's a sermon in this right here and probably been preached. So let's run these verses a little bit here. First of all, let's go to Romans 8:3. Romans 8:3. It's the cross reference there. We have Hebrews 4:15 as well. But go to Romans 8:3. So take a left turn there at Ephesians and pass by the Corinthian brothers. Amen. And then you'll hit Romans chapter 8. And verse number 3, talking about the conquering of Christ. And what has Jesus conquered? Amen. And boy, you say, well, everything. He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I know that, but let's look at the verses. Amen. I know that. Amen. Verse 3 of Romans chapter 8 says, for what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. Okay? So what did Jesus do when he died on the cross? He conquered what? Sin. He conquered sin. He conquered sin. The wages of sin is death. And you know why he conquered sin? The cross reference in Hebrews 4:15, let me read it to you. It says, we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Well, Jesus Christ conquered sin. Amen? When the devil came and tempted him, did he pass the temptation? He certainly did. Never did one thing wrong, never thought one wrong thought, and died on the cross. He conquered sin. Amen. And you know the amazing thing? The wages of sin is death. And how did Jesus conquer sin? Death. Isn't that just, I'm telling you, you get into that spiritual mouse wheel and you'll go a long time thinking about how good our God is. Amen. So he conquered death. Go to Hebrews chapter 2. So you go back to Ephesians and then take a right turn. You got Philippians, you got Colossians. You got the Thessalonian brothers, you got the Timothy brothers, you got Philemon, and then you got Hebrews, little book of Hebrews, chapter 2. He not only conquered sin, but according to Hebrews 2:14, it says, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that hath the power of death, that is the devil. So he not only conquered sin, but he also conquered Satan, didn't he? He conquered, there's a great verse, I think it's Colossians 1:8, that it talks about how he made an open show of them. How that if they knew what they were doing, they never would have crucified the Lord of glory. That's in 1 Corinthians, I think, chapter 2. But my goodness, ladies and gentlemen, never forget this. Satan is not equal to Jesus Christ. He's a first of all, he's a created being. And secondly, he's a conquered foe. He's already been conquered. He's just on the loose for a little while. And in the great tribulation, he's really going to be on the loose. Amen. But there's going to come a day when he is going to be cast into the lake of fire where he belongs. And all God's people said, amen. So he's conquered sin. He's conquered Satan. Romans chapter 6, verse 9. So back over to Romans. We're bouncing a little bit here. Romans chapter 6, verse 9. Romans chapter 6, verse 9. And I'm just going to go ahead and read it. If you don't get there, that's okay. You can look it up. It says, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. So he conquered sin, and all God's people said. He conquered Satan, and all God's people said. He also conquered death. Glory to God. And praise God, one day there will be no more death. 1 Corinthians 15:26 says, the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Hey, what does it say in Revelation 21:4? And there'll be no more death, no more crying, no more tears, no more pain, no more suffering. Amen. for the former things are passed away. Mama Holy, won't be any funerals to go to. Amen? I think of those of you that have lost children. No more separated. Amen? No more death. No more cord wrapped around the neck. No more trouble. Amen? Hallelujah. He's conquered it. Amen? Through His resurrection. And then this last one, 1 Corinthians 15:25, number 4, the conquering Christ. He's conquered sin. He's conquered Satan. He's conquered death. And here it says there in verse 15, and it really relates to the passage there at Ephesians, talks about how the put all things under His feet. It says in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 25, it says, "For He must reign till He hath put all enemies," where? "Under His feet." You know what? He will conquer His enemies. He will. I think of what our God allows pitiful man to say about Him, to think toward Him, and one day, ladies and gentlemen, I'm not taking joy in it, but one day He will conquer all His enemies. He'll put them all to silence. The conquering Christ. Secondly, and I've got to hurry here, back in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22 and 23, it says, "And hath put all things under His feet, and gave Him to be the head over all things to the," what? "Church, which is His," what? "Body." Okay? So we not only see the conquering of Christ, Roman numeral number 1, Roman numeral number 2, we see the church of Christ. The church of Christ. In verses 22 and 23, blank line there, Christ's relationship with His church is expressed in several illustrative metaphors in Ephesians. We, the church, are His, and we have three things that we're called here in Ephesians, okay? The first one is in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 20. He uses a metaphor here to describe His church. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 20 talks about how, verse 19, "Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple of the Lord." First metaphor he uses, we are His building and He is our foundation. Amen? We're the building. He's the foundation. We talk about the church building, amen, and certainly we should. It's the gathering place where we come, 2301 North Elm, the Jubilee improvements, hallelujah. But you know, we should do some Jubilee improvements on God's spiritual building, on each one of us, amen, getting closer to Him, walking closer to Him, repenting of sin, repenting of sin, repenting of sin, amen. And we're His building, He's our cornerstone. Ephesians chapter 5, we don't have time to read all those verses tonight. I know you know that passage. Let's go to Ephesians 5 and I'll just read one of the middle verses. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 23 says, concerning the marriage relationship, it says, "For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the" what? "Church." If you jump down to verse number 32, this whole passage is about marriage. Verse number 32 says, "This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning" who? "Christ and the church." 2 Corinthians 11:2 says, Paul says, "I'm jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ." Secondly, not only are we His building and He our foundation, we're His bride and He's our groom. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, that is one of the main reasons, outside of Genesis and outside of everything bringing forth after His kind, while I will never surrender that marriage should be anything but a man and a woman. Never will I surrender that, because listen, we are His bride, the church, and He is our groom. A bride doesn't marry a bride. And a groom doesn't marry a groom, and all God's people said. Amen. And so think about that. We're His bride. He's our groom. And then in this passage here in Ephesians chapter 1, we learn this. We are His body, and He is our head. We got some farmers. Ever have a chicken? You ever cut the head off a chicken? Like some churches I know. Come on. No head. No head. You know, the body doesn't live long without a head. It can live a little while, not long. Listen, He's the head. I'm not the head of this church. The deacons aren't the head of this church. Jesus Christ is the head of this church. Go to Colossians. It's just a couple books over. Colossians chapter 1. And then Colossians chapter 2. And then we'll be back in Ephesians and we'll be done tonight. I'm telling you, I was so blessed studying this today. I just got so blessed. I hope you're getting as blessed as I did, other than me running around like a chicken. That was probably a blessing in and of itself. Amen. Colossians, thank you for that weird amen. God bless you, brother. Amen. Colossians 1:18, look at it. It says, and He is the what? Head of the body, the church. Amen? He's the head of the body, the church. It says, who's the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. And then if you go down to chapter 2, verse number 19, it says this, and not holding the what? Head, from which all the body, by joints and bands, having nourishment, ministered, and knit together, increaseth with the increase of God. Ladies and gentlemen, we are His building, He's our foundation. We are His bride, He's our groom. We are His body, and He is our head. So I love this. Number one, the conquering of Christ. Number two, the church of Christ. And number four, I feel like Inspector Clouseau. I made a numerical error there. Last time I used to be supposed to count 1, 2, 3, and I counted 1, 2, 4. Amen. The completeness of Christ. And I'm going to tell you what, I'm going to leave you on this quote. And if it does as much for any of you as it did for me today, I'm telling you, we're going to walk out of this place full. And that is verse 23. It says this, Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 23. Look what it says. It's talking about us, the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. This quote from a great author, I'd recommend his books, John Phillips. He said this, we cannot comprehend this statement or exhaust it. It is God's solemn word that the Lord Jesus, who fills all in all, who is higher than the high, who conceived and created the universe through His omniscient and omnipotent power, who is the object of angelic worship and the ceaseless theme of the seraph's song, is incomplete without us, is incomprehensible. That's what it says, ladies and gentlemen. It says that we're the fullness of Him, we, the church, His body, are the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. The one who birthed every stream, amen, the one who planted every tree, is not complete without us. Can you imagine? My goodness. What an amazing thought. What an amazing... He says there, Christ is as incomplete with us as a head would be without a body. Listen, I was searching for an illustration that would make this work. And Brother Hazel Sword, I just kept going round and round and round and round. And the only thing I thought, Miss Judy, and I think you and Brother Bill would say amen to this, would be my wife and I were a complete married couple for 12 years. We were complete, we were happy, we were content. And then God gave us children and we're unhappy and discontent. No, amen. God gave us children. My pastor has 4 children. His oldest at 18 years old was taken in a car wreck. There's always an empty seat, Mama Holy, at the Thanksgiving table. in Christmas dinner. There's always an empty seat. You're incomplete without him. Incomplete without your boy. It's the best illustration I can give you, ladies and gentlemen, because I'm still amazed by that passage. That Jesus Christ, who fills all and all, is incomplete without us. I told Miss Robin, we're going to sing How Great Thou Art. Because I'm telling you what, reading that passage, you can come right ahead, Miss Robin. Reading that passage, all I can do is say, How great thou art. I don't know why you'd love me. I don't know why you could ever be incomplete without me, but that's what your word says. And all it does is make me want to praise him from the housetops. Amen. Let's stand. How great thou art. You know what page that is, Miss Robin? 34. Page number 34. Would you stand and sing and worship him with your voice tonight? If you want to come to the altar's open. Amen. Page number 34. How great thou art.